Continuing our discussion on the start of the 2024 election cycle, we turn now to Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. He joins us every week, and we're going to take a high-level overview of where races stand for the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House. Scott, good to have you here.
Great to be back, Loman. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
We did, and I hope you and your family had a great Thanksgiving as well. And I guess the Christmas season is now also officially underway. Relative to the U.S. Senate here, Scott, you have a situation now where both chambers are very closely divided. So what does the playing field look like for U.S. Senate seats as we enter 2024?
We still got that 51 to 49 U.S. Senate. And obviously there's a lot more Democrats that are facing re-election this time than last time when the Republicans went from 50-50 and the Democrats netted one seat. We've got competitive races all throughout the country, from the Commonwealth of Virginia, where I'm running, to your Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Montana, West Virginia. Joe Manchin already announced his retirement. That should be a solid Republican pickup. You've got competitive races in Nevada and Arizona. And then there's a couple of Republicans that are running important races, but we think are safe, like Ted Cruz and Rick Scott. Nonetheless, there's a good opportunity here for Republicans to win the majority in the 2024 election for the U.S. Senate. Over in the House, obviously things have been really tight. Everybody's been listening on this show to us talk about the drama between House conservatives, moderates, and the Speaker, whether it's Kevin McCarthy or Mike Johnson. And we know that right now Republicans face a slight majority with four seats, but we've also got this real opportunity to strengthen that majority given the enthusiasm behind strong presidential candidate. And so I think that there is sort of this growing momentum right now. You're seeing it in local races. Even this week there was a mayor's race in Charleston, South Carolina. And in that race, a Republican won for the first time in a couple generations, several generations, I should say. And so that's important because I think it's showing that Republicans are winning in the battle of ideas. I could go all throughout the country. I think we should do that and talk a little bit about some of the recent retirements that we've faced. Your next door neighbor in Ohio had a representative named Bill Johnson, and he decided to hang up his congressional pen, announced his retirement, and he's going to take the presidency over at Youngstown State University. Then you can go down all the way to the south, and in Texas, we've had several retirement announcements recently. The biggest one, I think, is the House Appropriations Chairwoman, Kay Granger, who has been a career politician, uniparty, big spender, really responsible for a lot of these huge deficits and the big omnibus appropriation deals as far as the Republicans are concerned. And so she announced she's not going to seek her reelection. Then Michael Burgess, who's kind of known as the doctor of Congress, he announced that he's going to retire as well. I think that's the 26th district over in the Dallas area that includes Keller. And then there's another guy named Pat Fallon. Pat hasn't been in Congress too long. And he announced he was going to retire from the U.S. Congress and go back to serving in the state Senate. He announced his candidacy for a state Senate race there, saying that Texas was really the battle line for saving America. And a day later, he said, you know what, I've actually changed my mind. I am going to run for my reelection here in the U.S. Congress. I've talked to my family, and that's what we're going to move forward with. So a little bit of a head fake, and a lot of people were wondering what was going on there. The way that I kind of look at this, Loman, is a real opportunity for Republicans to demonstrate that, number one, the Biden economy is completely failing the middle-class family, and we all see it. We saw it this week in Thanksgiving prices, you know, whether or not you were buying fresh fruit or whether you were buying your turkey or even just the cost of bread. There are all across the board dramatic increases in the price of food, and I think that's largely due to not only inflation but the energy crisis. And we have this Biden energy crisis because Biden ended the Keystone Pipeline, right? He's had a war on fossil fuels for this radical green agenda from the Green New Deal, people like AOC, and honestly, that's crushing us at the gas pump, and that trickles down when you think about how the cost of diesel impacts transportation of food and other commodities. So really, the Biden economy, I think, is on the ballot. I hope Republicans tell that story. I think it gives us a chance to have a big win.
One of the big dramas still remaining before Congress is Congressman George Santos. He did announce his retirement, but it's possible, Scott, he might not even get that far?
Well, there's a chance that he could be expelled from Congress. And really, this is the kind of thing, and when you open up the history books, that happened to members of Congress that were a part of the Confederacy and people that committed high crimes and misdemeanors. Obviously, George Santos has faced dozens of indictments on his own due to his campaign conduct in the 2022 election when he won his race. But the Ethics Committee came back with a pretty damning report on his behavior. And even though they had an expulsion vote earlier this year, now there's many members of the House that previously voted against expulsion that have publicly said, hey, I'm willing to vote for expulsion now that he's had his day in the Ethics Committee. So Santos announced that he would not be seeking re-election, but I guess the big question is, will he join the history books in being one of the only expelled members in the House of Representatives?
Always interesting to keep an eye on what's going on under the Capitol Dome with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, a few words about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C. We also have an organization called Club for Growth PAC, where Club for Growth PAC makes endorsements of candidates, economic conservatives, free market champions all throughout the country. If you want to learn more about the candidates we're supporting this cycle, check out clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you again for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.